Penultimate Wednesday. We look at the first game. Who still remember the title of that game? The first game we looked at the first Wednesday of the month of December. Silent night. God bless you, my sister. And last Wednesday, we looked at blessed assurance. And today, we shall be looking at all hail the power of Jesus' name. The background of the hymn. The song, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, has been referred to as the national anthem of Christendom. It was written by Edward Peronet, a minister with the Anglican Communion, and later with Wesley's Methodist Church. He later left the Methodist Church and founded an independent church which he pastored till his death. It is believed that this song was written when he was in his independent church. Major tunes have been written for this song, and all three are still being used today. The first one is The Coronation, written by Oliver Oldin, who lived between 1765 and 1844. The second one is by Miles Lane, who wrote his. It's called Miles Lane, sorry, and was written by William Shropshire, who lived between 1760 and 1806. White Diadem was written by James Ellor, who lived between 1819 and 1899. All the three tunes are still in use today. The song has also been translated into virtually all major languages of the world. The focus of our teaching tonight will be on the first tune written by Oliver Oldin and the one that was written by James Ellor, the Diadem. What we are saying here is the song, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, was put together by that Anglican priest who later joined Methodist and eventually formed his own ministry. Who still remember the name of the pastor? Who remember the name of the pastor? That's to tell us that we're not focusing. Who still remember the name of the pastor? I mentioned it in my first slide. I want to be sure that you are following me. I'm not hearing you. It's not? You said what? I'm not going back. I'm going forward. I'm not going backward. There is net in the name. So who will tell us? Mocha, what's the name? Our Marco. You are a musician. You did music in the university. Yeah, tell us. You are looking at the board. He's an Anglican priest, yes, but what is his name? All right, that's your own work. I'm not going to tell you. But there are two tunes. And one thing I need to emphasize is, if you look at the hymns, if you are using the original Grodmal hymnal, Sankey, SS and S, just make his own direct. But if you look at either Broadman hymnal or Baptist hymnal or even the original Anglican hymn, you will see on top two names will always appear. The name of the person who wrote the weddings and the name of the person who formed the tune for the song. They are two different persons. Someone will get the inspiration to put the weddings down. And in most cases, another person will be the one who will put those weddings into a tune that is singable. And so the song, "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name," is called what in the church? Who can still tell me? It's called what? It's popularly referred to as what? The national anthem of Christendom. By that it means virtually every denomination, every church body must have sung this song. So it's not limited to any particular denomination. It's a general song that is sung in most of the various denominations that there exist. And I also said that this song was composed, or tunes were developed for them. In how many tunes were developed for it? Three. One is what? Coronation. The second one is what? Because you are seeing it on the board. And the third one is what? Diadem. So I'm going to concentrate on coronation and diadem. Now, for coronation, this is the tune. All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate for him and the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Order is royal diadem and crown him Lord. That is coronation. But for diadem, the tune is all the power of Jesus' name, let angel prostrate for let angel prostrate for bring forth thy royal diadem and Crown. Now, it is the same song, the same weddings, different tunes. The diadem and the coronation are made popular depending on the context of the song, of the singing. Depending on, again, some denominations prefer to take to the part of one tune or the other. Let me digress a bit. If you look at the original Broadman hymn, you discover that in singing this hymn, the one who conducts ought to have a pattern of conducting depending on the key of the note of each of those songs. And each time I watch some of us conducting the hymns here, I'll be just be shaking my head. Because even the conductor does not understand the intricacies behind the raising and the putting down of the hand. We just do the hand and then people will follow. I'm trusting God. In January, I'm going to bring a music professor from the seminary. He's going to spend 1 week with us. He's going to be a hymn reviver. So that he will help us to appreciate how to conduct the hymn, because the conducting of the song itself should make meaning, should make impact. Not just doing it for the fun of it or doing it for the sake of doing it. We leave that one. But I'll call music director and I'll come and conduct coronation for us. You don't shake head. All right, let's run. The message of the hymn. All hail the power of Jesus' name is majorly a command to praise and to worship Jesus and to crown him Lord of all. Jesus has been born, he has suffered and died for our sins, and he has resurrected and gone back to heaven. Because of what he has done for humankind, he has been given a name that is above every other name. Just as we read in Philippians chapter 2. This name, therefore, commands the adoration of both the earthly and heavenly being. In fact, even all the things under the earth are obligated to do what? To worship him. The first stanza of the hymn starts with all hail, meaning that everyone should praise and describe as good and special the power in the name of Jesus. Then goes on to specifically address the angels, heavenly beings, to fall prostrate at his feet. They were then to bring the royal diadem, which is a symbol of authority and royalty, and go ahead to crown him as the Lord of all. We're going to sing this song. But before we do that, let me draw our attention to the wordings of this song. Shall we all rise as we read together the wordings of the first stanza of the song? One, two, go. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angel prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. One of the things that is associated with this song is the fact that you don't sing this song while you sit down, because you are acknowledging the supremacy and the sovereignty of Jesus. Though he was God, he never considered his equality with God a thing to be grasped. He humbled himself. At creation, he was the one to whom God said, "Let us make man in our own image." As human beings, we belittle him by thinking and believing that he came into exist on the day Mary became conceived and gave birth to a son in a manger. No, that's not true. He had been even before the beginning. In him, there is no beginning and there is no end. That's why John will say, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God." He was with God from the beginning. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was the light of men, the light that came to this world. And so, even the angel who hitherto are believed to have existed thousands of years before his death, they were called upon to do what? To fall prostrate at his feet. Because he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. He is immutable, unchallengeable. His authority cannot be undermined. His authority cannot be questioned. His authority and supremacy transcends anything else. That's why he is God. When we talk about Jesus as the Son of God, it is only an illustration of the level of our understanding. Other than that, Jesus is not more little than God. No. He is God in himself. The relationship that exists between him, the Father, and the Holy Spirit is a mystery that nobody can explain. Theologians believe that it was God himself who came down in the likeness of man. Not necessarily a small person, smaller than the Almighty God. That's not true. He is God in himself. That's what the songwriter says. You are God by yourself. Let's sing the song together. We're going to sing this tune of Diadem, not Coronation. Over to you, Omako. Play it and then we'll follow you. Want to go? All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angel prostrate fall. Let angel prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem. Crowning, now you may be seated. Now look at the four sentences in this first stanza and tell me what makes line 1 and line 3 look similar and what makes line 2 and line 4 look similar. Who can tell me? And nobody is talking. Who? Yes, Peggy.
Line 1 and line 3.
Yes.
It's describing the authority, the power in the name of Jesus.
Good.
While line 2 and 3 refers to us worshiping.
Okay, thank you. I will give you 4.5/10. There's something else I'm looking for. Who can tell me? Yes, Auntie Nkechi.
Pa and royal dad. They are symbol of authority. All hail. People are, we are being called to worship. Then bring forth is also a call to worship.
Okay. Thank you. I gave Dr. Peggy 4.5. I will give you 5/10. Because you tried to add the Sunday school embellishment. But that's not what I'm looking for. Who will be able to pick out something from this page for me? I'm waiting. All right, let me help you. If you remember when we did the last hymn we did last Wednesday, who was the composer of that hymn? Who still remember? Crosby, God bless your mouth. You are a good girl. Yes, Fanny Crosby. And I told us, Fanny Crosby composed how many hymns and songs? Who still remember? Eh?
Over 8,000.
Okay. Now, we are saying, if you listen, if you remember very well, I did say that in looking at the presentation of Fanny Crosby, you discover that the last three words or the last three alphabets in the first and second line of each of those hymns, we always tally, we always agree. The weddings at the last three alphabets in the first and second line the third and fourth line. Now, in coming to Paronets, did I mention the pastor's name? No, I didn't. Now, because I gave you that as assignment. Now, if you look at the weddings of this song, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, you discover that the first line ends with A-M-E. Let's pronounce it. No, let's pronounce A-M-E is what? M. Okay. Now, if you look at the last three words in the third line, it is what? E-D-E-N. Now, Paronet was trying to look for a word that would draw the lines together. And at the same time, he has a message in his heart that he wants to pass across. That's how to be poetic in presentation. The ability to be able to link the two together in such a way that the very message that he wants to pass across will not be lost along the line is a difficult work to do. But that is what this man is doing. As you will see in the second stanza, the third stanza, and the fourth stanza, they are more aligning. But if you look at this first stanza, you discover that he tried to take name and he said him. Then he wants to conclude the third line. He was looking for a word that would be able to agree with the name and at the same time be able to tie it to the message he was passing across. He decided to pick M, which is a bit closer to him. That's why we say, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Bring forth the royal garden. Now, if you jump forward down to line, second line and the fourth line, what are the three alphabets that are similar at the last alphabet? A-L-L. Fall and all. Now, let's jump down. By the time I go to the second stanza, you appreciate what I'm trying to pass across. The second and third stanzas call upon those on earth to join in the crowning of the Lord of hosts. These people include not only the chosen Israel, but every kindred, every tribe on the surface of the earth. Why does Jesus desire to be worshipped? Line 3 and 4 of stanza 2 answers that question. He saves us by his grace. That's why we need to worship him. The truth is that he has saved us. Salvation past at conversion. He daily saves us. Salvation present. And by delivering us from evil and danger, by loading us with benefits of his protection, love and care, etc., he will be our savior at the end of the age. Now, if I ask you the principles of salvation, you will tell me we have been saved. Somebody say it.
We have been saved.
I didn't hear you say it. We are being saved. We are being saved.
We will be saved.
That is the principle of salvation. What is principle number one?
We have been saved.
Somebody is getting it wrong.
Say it again. We have been saved.
We have been saved. Let's say it.
We have been saved.
The second principle.
We are being saved.
And the third principle.
We will be saved.
Thank you. That's why we have issues with someone who holds on to the philosophy of once saved, saved forever. No. No man has arrived. Paul says, I press on towards the mark of my calling. We have been saved. That's why you are in church. We are being saved. That's why you continue to worship. You will fall. You will get up. You will fall. You will get up. Because the process of salvation is continuing. And we will eventually be saved. When? At Parousia. Somebody say Parousia. Yes, at the second coming of Jesus Christ, that is when there will be the consummation of our salvation. Yes, I can see Pastor Solomon nodding his head. Because we have just left to the seminary now. We are right there at the seminary. That's where we are now. So our salvation is not complete yet. And Adam is telling us that he saved us. That's what Jesus did for the truth. The truth is that he saved us. Our salvation experience started from when we held unto him and said, I accept the Lord Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. We are being saved because on a daily basis he saves us. He saves us from Satan's assault. He saves us from evil. He saves us from attack. He saves us from satanic manipulation. He saves us from the hands of witches and wizards. Eventually we shall be saved. Because at Parousia, when he comes in his glory, he will say to his own, well done, faithful servant. So the songwriter, the man is drawing our attention to the fact that these are the reasons why we need to crown him as Lord of all. Hallelujah. Now let's look at the second stanza. Shall we all rise as we read together? One, two, go. Ye choosing seed of Israel's race, ye ransomed from the fall, hail him who saves you by his grace, and crown him Lord of all. If you look at the first line there, the last three alphabet, A, C, E, is very explicit. If you look at the third line, the last three words, A, C, E, is very explicit. And then F, A, L, L, in the second line, the last word there, and then the all, which goes to paint the picture of the fact that the composer or the writer of this hymn was playing with words. And the words still align together. Let's sing the second stanza after the intro. Ye chosen seed of Israel's race, and ransomed from the foe.
Ye ransomed from the fall, he who saves you by his grace, and crowning, Lord of all.
And let's take the test stanza together. One, two, go. Let
every kindred be tried for this there is a to him, O Majesty, ascribe a crowning.
Thank you, be seated. In the last stanza, which we shall consider, the writer wishes that we will be among the saints who will worship Jesus eternally in heaven. It will be a colossal loss if we are privileged to worship Christ here on earth and we are not counted worthy to be in heaven, dwelling with him and worshiping him. We're going to sing the last stanza wherein we adore him and at the same time praying to be counted worthy to worship him forever. Again, we shall rise to sing the last stanza after the intro.
Oh, that with yonder tongue. We have his people born. We are his feet before. We join in everlasting song. And crowning,
please be seated. How exciting it will be when on that day of the sacred throne we shall all be at his feet. We will join the everlasting song to crown him the Lord of all. May we indeed be counted worthy to do so in Jesus' name. Indeed, it is the national anthem of Christendom. Not only calls us to praise, it also calls us to pray. Let us continue to live our lives full of these two great attributes, praising and praying. And I pray that the Lord himself will find us worthy to be among the Lord who will crown him ultimately on that day as the Lord of all. Question time and contributions. Moderator.
Thank you so much, Daddy. We are learning a lot. Have you learned something this evening? Are you happy? Do you wonder the kind of people these hymn writers must have been? No ordinary persons. Hallelujah. Do you have any question? Do you have a contribution? Any question? You can just ask Daddy now. The name. The assignment that he gave to us. It's question time anyway. You can ask Daddy now. What? Oh, clap for her. Daddy, did you hear her? Okay, let's clap for her now. You don't hear her?